Hallelujah. Somebody shout somebody. Come on, just give the Lord a big God bless you. Woo, welcome to Praise the Lord show here. We're in Dallas, Texas to minister the word of God. We got a great show. I'm telling you, call a friend, tell them to turn that television on. They're going to be blessed by the power of the Lord Jesus. We got some guests. I'm telling you, you're going to learn something tonight. I mean, you may be depressed, but you're just going to have to want to stay depressed to be depressed. If you're sick, you're going to have to want to stay sick. But I'll tell you, there's enough anointing in this place to minister greatly to you. And we got a great studio audience. Give yourself a hand clap. Glory to God. What a blessing of the Lord. I am excited. God's going to do some great things. And you didn't tune in just by accident. You're here because the Lord wanted you here. Y'all can be seated if you like. I like the scripture in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. He went to Nazareth where he was brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened up the book and found the place where it was written. This is the first time, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was standing before a crowd. He was opening up his ministry, his first homily, if you want to call it this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I want to make an announcement tonight. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me too. It's upon you too. And all you got to do is operate and function in it and let the anointing of God bless you. I tell you, you get so much full of the anointing of God that nothing else fits. I've had people say, have you ever been sad? I tried sad. I didn't like it. Got too much anointing. It just brought too much happiness in my life. That doesn't mean the devil don't fight me. That doesn't mean trouble don't come. I just don't pay that much attention to it. I just keep going preaching the gospel. And I got to tell you something. The other day, I was in a casino. Come on, Jesus. I was asked to go preach in a casino. Right in the middle of a casino with slot machines and people gambling. And I just preaching up a storm. And between 70 and 80 people walked out the casino and gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a good testimony. That was just such a blessing of the Lord. Don't make no difference. People say, how can you preach in that kind of environment? Well, God came to a nightclub to get me because you wouldn't come. You know, you would just criticize. Now, he's a heathen, and I was a heathen. But the Lord went and got me born again. I was telling the people earlier before we came on the air, I didn't get saved in a church. I got saved in a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts. Every time I go to the bathroom, I get excited. I think about it. That's where I got saved. Glory to God. We are so excited that you tune in. I'm giving you a little time. Call a friend. Tell them to turn that television on. They're going to be blessed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we got one of the greatest singers that God ever created. He's also a phenomenal preacher. And if you want a great church, I'll give you a little hint. It's in Lenexa, Kansas. And it's this wonderful man. He's got some of the greatest hits of gospel music. He's just a blessing and a great friend. His name is Mike Perkey. Give him a hand clap as he comes to sing. These hands were meant to praise the Lord. Come on, Michael.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, everybody. Well, these hands were meant to praise the Lord. Well, these hands were not meant to carry care. Come into the throne room and lay your burdens there. For these hands were meant to praise the Lord.
For your mind, don't let the devil bind you. You throw your God. Hallelujah. What a blessing of the Lord. That was Mike Perk. Hey, Mike, I'm so glad you came. Let me stand up and look at you. You got something new happening? Put your mic up.
Well, yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. One day I'm going to be as tall as you. I'm believing God. Praise the Lord.
You're wonderful.
You're a great man. Give Mike another hand clap. Did you do that? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. What a blessing. We do enjoy Pastor Perk. If you're in the Lenexa or Kansas City, Kansas City, Missouri area, you need to go visit his church. He's got a great church. He's a great preacher, too, as well as a great singer. I have a great friend here today. Not too long ago, I was at his church in Jacksonville, Florida. I got to give him a proper introduction. He's a bishop now, you know what I'm saying? So glory to God. I'm just Jesse, but he's a bishop. Praise the Lord. He's senior pastor of Faith Christian Center in Jacksonville, Florida, has a nationwide broadcast called Born to Win that airs weekly. He has planted 9 churches throughout Florida, Georgia, Virginia, and Peru. I'd like everyone to give a wonderful hand clap to Bishop George Davis. Thank you, Bishop. What a blessing.
Thank you,
Bishop. I am so glad that you took this invitation. You are such a blessing. You have a phenomenal church, but you got a phenomenal spirit inside of you, because I've been knowing you years ago. People, you may not realize that Bishop would pick me up. I'd go to Detroit.
20 years ago.
20 years ago. He would drive me back and forth to the airport. I was preaching for Bishop Keith Butler, I believe it was. Yeah. And you would come in. And I knew it immediately. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I said, you know, one day that man's going to pastor a church. Mm. And brother, is he pastoring the church? One of the finest churches in the Jacksonville, Florida area. Tell me what's happening in your ministry, because I know you got George Davis Ministries as well as the church. Tell me what's going on in your life.
Well, God's been good to us.
I knew that.
Thank you for the invite and being here, and always great to be able to be with you. I'm just George, too, by the way.
Okay.
Jesse.
Jesse, praise the Lord.
Well, God's been good to us. He's increasing the church and allowing us the opportunity to touch some hearts and lives in the Jacksonville area.
Amen.
And reaching out and planting other churches. As you know, we have a vision called Impact 7, which is impacting 7 major cities there in the state of Florida. And then we expanded it beyond to go up the East Coast to Virginia. And this summer, we're planting a church in the Baltimore, Maryland area.
Praise the Lord.
So we're going to be touching Baltimore, and then we're getting ready to touch Daytona. So God is gracing us and expanding us, and it's just an honor to be used by God.
But, you know, he's keeping you busy. George, you call me Jesse, I call you George. You're blessing the God. You know, I've been to your church, and I've been to a lot of churches, and I believe I can say this. I could grade his church. It's one of the best churches, one of the finest churches I've ever been in. But you know what? Even though I know people are different when I come into a church, because I'm a guest speaker, so they might be a little bit more bouncy and all kinds of stuff, but you're there day in and day out. How do you handle all that going on? Because I do know that the church is growing in the ministry, as well as your own personal ministry that you're going out preaching and doing different things. Sure. How do you keep it? Because I'm going to tell you something. When I go to your church, I don't have to pull in people out of the chairs to kind of get them to move. You already got them moving. How do you do that on a Sunday-to-Sunday-to-Sunday basis?
I always like to say that we have one of the greatest groups of folks on planet Earth, and I'm sure many pastors would say the same thing, but it's just a blessing to pastor the folks there in Jacksonville. And really, it is what kind of is the hallmark thing for this year is just the grace of God.
Amen.
And as a 23-year-old young man coming out of Detroit, and then when I moved to Jacksonville, I was 26, you know, starting a church from ground zero. And it's been nothing but the grace of God. You know, God is.
I bet you don't miss that snow, all that snow and cold in Detroit, do you?
I don't miss the cold at all.
Florida, you know, God just sent you to Florida. It's the Lord when he tells you to go to Florida. You know, but your church and your wife, your family is doing marvelous things. Your ministry is doing things. What I've learned about you, that you're a man of great ambition. And that's a good thing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not talking about just trying to get somewhere so you can get a name for yourself. But a man that you have an ambition to complete the work that God has called you to do. How do you keep that ambition going on a daily basis? Because I know the devil's attacks you because he attacks me, attacks all of us. But how do you keep that ambition? I know how I keep my ambition going. How do you keep yours?
Well, number one, I look back and realize where I've come from.
Amen.
And it's kind of like when Jesus preached that great sermon that except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no place in me. And the Bible says many walked away from him, and he turned to the 12 and asked them, are you going to go too? And Peter looked up and said, where are we going to go? You got the words of life. And that's certainly been my thought process as well. There haven't been times that I haven't been wearied or discouraged at different times. But when I look back at where God has brought me from and look at how he rescued me and took me out of the the life I was living and doing the stuff I was doing up on Michigan State University campus, and took a skinny kid from Detroit and gave me a chance to serve him and be a blessing to his people. It becomes real easy when I start meditating on the goodness of God. And I really think that anybody that is dealing with something discouraging or depressing, when you sit and start thinking yourself happy, you start thinking about how good God has been to you, it's hard to be depressed when you start meditating on just
Hallelujah.
How good God has been.
That's right.
And usually, I always like to say, too, anytime we think we got it bad, there's always at least a billion other people on planet Earth that would love to trade their problems for our problems.
Right.
And so when you start meditating on just how good God has been, it picks you up and makes you ready to go and do it again. And then for me, too, all it takes is seeing one good altar call.
Glory to God.
Seeing somebody give their life to the Lord, and whatever I had to go through that week or that month or that year, it's all been worth it when you see somebody's life changed like God changed my life.
Well, you know, it's amazing, Bishop, when you said, yeah, that's a blessing of the Lord. Whew. You know, and I don't mean this to sound prideful or arrogant. Ladies and gentlemen, we get about 6,000 phone calls a week through our ministry, okay, at Jessica Press Ministries. Of that 6,000, about 4,500 of them, sometimes it's more and sometimes it's less, 4,500 people are getting born again. Now, and I don't mean this prideful. I have had, in my ministry, in over 35 years of full-time ministry, I've had millions of people come to the knowledge of Christ. I have preached a lot all over the world. But I never get used to it. I see somebody walking, giving, and them tears coming out there, it just tears me up, because I realize you got an adventure coming. Okay. Oh, Lord, you have become one of the most powerful people. And think about this. Out of 7 billion people on this planet, he touched you with his love.
Yeah.
He touched you with his grace. Bishop, I've seen that. I'm like you. People said, do you ever kind of get tired of that? Are you used to that? How do you get used to eternal life? How do you get used to when you see people going, man, I was blind, sometimes physically, sometimes spiritually, but now I see.
Yeah.
So it's such a wonderful, I think, you know, a lot of people say, but just how do you keep your encouragement up? Sometimes I watch my own tapes. Sometimes I laugh at myself.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of, and I know it's coming because I said it, and I just roar, glory to God. One time Kathy came and she said, you watching yourself preach. I said, woman, you ought to be a partner to that man's ministry. That's what I said, glory to God. She said, I am, praise the Lord. So it's just so exciting. Now, also, you about ready to start another church in Baltimore? Has that started yet, or are you about ready to go?
That was starting later this year. Later this year, we're starting one in Baltimore, and then we're starting one later this year as well in Daytona, Florida as well.
I see. Praise
the Lord. And really, you know, it comes back to, you know, what you're talking about is just the grace of God that rests upon us.
Amen.
I couldn't do what I'm doing. You couldn't do what you're doing unless we were called by God.
Amen.
There's a grace, like Paul talked about, the grace that we stand in. If I tried to do what you do, it would wear me out because I'm not called in grace to do what you're doing. And I really believe that there's a grace upon not only the body of Christ, but there's a revelation of God's grace that's just impacting the world this year. I mean, not that it hasn't been there before. We've been studying the grace of God for years and years and years. But I believe as we head toward this end of days that we're in, I really personally believe we're out of time.
I believe
we're marking time and finishing up some of the last few things that have to be done, the biggest of which is this massive harvest of souls that needs to come into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And I believe the revelation that God is revealing and unleashing at a deeper level, which is the reality of his grace, is what opens up the door for people to realize that God doesn't need you to fix yourself when he sent Jesus to do the hard, heavy lifting
Praise
for you.
The Lord. You know, the Bible said, by grace are you saved. A lot of people sometimes misinterpret that. And, you know, God, and grace means unmerited favor. God don't give you power so you can sin better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, some people think that, well, I'm under grace. No, he didn't give you power so you could kill better.
No.
You know, but I'm under grace. No, he gave you power so you could live better.
Yeah.
And when you live in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, it took grace to save me.
Mm-hmm.
God saw something in me that no one else saw.
Mm-hmm.
And when God called me to preach, Bishop, I still say that today. I've been preaching 37 years, but I've been in full-time ministry a little over 35 years. I said, Lord, I'm not qualified. He said, that's why I called you. He said, because Jesse, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
He said, because if you made a mistake, you wouldn't know you made a mistake because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you'll walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah.
And the other day I was praying, and I believe you would enjoy that. I said, you know, Lord, I got to say something. I know at times I disappointed you. I know I have. I mean, I disappointed myself. But I can honestly say in our relationship and fellowship, you have never disappointed me once.
Wow.
I said, but I got to tell you something, God. You did some things I didn't understand. And I mean, what he told me just shocked me. He said, that's what fathers do.
Yeah. That's
see,
true.
Fathers do some things children say, I don't understand why that old fool's doing that, you know, that kind of stuff. I thought my daddy was the dumbest man that ever walked the face of the earth. I literally, now he's went home to be with the Lord last year, and the older I get, the smarter that man is, you know. And I realize, it's, God said, the reason why I didn't tell you, because even if you understood it, you still didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
I had to grow to that fullness. Mm-hmm. So tell me about what you've been preaching. You've been preaching a lot on grace in your church?
Been preaching a lot on the grace. And you know, that scripture you read, Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved.
Yes.
That word saved, you know, most of us know in the Greek means, it comes from the Greek word sozo.
Right.
And it means more than just a one-way ticket or trip to heaven.
Right.
It's preserved. It's healed. It's being made whole. It's being made well, which means everything that comes in our salvation package comes from that measure of grace.
Amen.
And, you know, even the Bible talks about, for by grace are you saved through faith. And right. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Where we think of, you know, I can't boast on my own salvation. I can't boast on redeeming myself. But in reality, everything we get in our salvation package, from our healing to our prosperity, to our joy, to our protection and the angels and being encamped around us, it's all a measure of that grace.
Amen.
And when we start to have faith that God's grace, you know, God didn't wake up in the morning and change his mind about us like
That's
people
right.
would.
Yes.
And sometimes we tend to judge God and his unfailing, undying love for us by the standard of whoever we think is in our life.
Right.
And if they changed on us or if they flipped out on us and they stopped loving us, they stopped talking to us, you know, they ostracized us because we didn't do something just right.
Right.
Then we tend to think God does that way. But when you said to God, I know I've disappointed you, I'm sure his response back to you is, but I still loved you the
same
way.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Because he doesn't change on us.
Well, you know, I realize, yeah, that's good. I realized even through my disappointment, and what I mean by that, I mean, I'm not, I don't mean this problem, I'm not a major sinner.
Yeah.
But I do get mad sometimes. I don't like traffic. So I bought a plane and I ran into traffic. You know, and you know how sometimes people give you sign language when you're on the interstate?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Which makes me mad. I say, you talking to me? I'm going to shoot that finger off. You know? And then God don't like that kind of stuff, you know. I said, okay, Lord, you shoot it off. You know, because good time, it just gets irritating. And that's what I mean by disappointing people. Say, well, that's not much. It is to me.
But isn't it amazing, though, that even with that, God still lets you be Jesse?
Yes.
And see, so I think that's the thing. I think sometimes we work so hard trying to get closer to God.
Right.
Work so hard trying to be accepted by God. Without accepting the reality that he loves you the way you are.
That's right.
You know, my wife and I have three beautiful children, and there's nothing they could do to make us stop loving them.
Right.
And we may not always be pleased with an act or an action that they've done, but our love doesn't go up and down.
That's right.
At the worst moment when we're the most disappointed in something they've done, we still love them the same. And I really believe to access the healing power of God and to access the prosperity and the protection and all the promises that God's word has for us, we've got to grow to this place where we just settle it in our hearts once and for all. God loves me.
That's right.
He's in love with me. I'm in love with him. And I don't have to get up on a daily basis to reprove myself to him in order to access that love.
Yeah, it's the same way in my own marriage. I'll be married to Kathy this year, 43 years. You didn't think I'd remember, did you, girl? Praise the Lord. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm going to be honest with you, George. It seems like about 10 years.
Yeah.
Why? That doesn't mean, because Kathy can make me happier than anybody else, but she can make me madder than anybody in this world. You understand? And one time, she got mad at me, and I told her, I said, you know what the Bible says? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And that made her mad because I quoted the scripture. So I noticed the sun was going down. I said, sun going down. Come on, mama. Come on. Sun going down. Come on. Boy, she just, finally, she says, I'm sorry. I said, I pardon you. Oh! And she's done it to me. Come on, you old white-headed fool. Sun going down, you know. But we never question our love for each other.
No.
I've never questioned God's love for me. I'm just amazed that he loved me when I didn't love him.
Yeah.
But you know, you being a pastor, I never understood. I don't doubt some people watching tonight. I never understood God as a person. Mm-hmm. You know, I understood God as a religious institution, mm-hmm. as the Roman Catholic Church or a Baptist church or whatever church. You know, to me, I mean, you don't talk to God.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you think you are to talk to God? But when I found out, George, and that's grace, mm-hmm. that we could come boldly to that throne and say, hello, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hi, Jesse.
Just where you are.
He's never called me Reverend Duplantis.
That's right. That's right.
I've never called him Reverend Christ. I call him Jesus. He calls me Jesse. Mm-hmm. That's what you're ministering. That's what you mean by grace. No matter what happens, he still loves you no matter what. Has nothing to do with the love thermometer.
No. And I believe that in these days that we live in right now, we've got to get a revelation of that so we can share that with the world.
Amen.
You know, we're called to take the message of reconciliation, that God is not mad at the world. He's canceled their debt. Now, they've got to come and receive Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not a way.
Right.
He's not just one path, one of the many paths to get to the Father. He's the only way to the Father. But we've got to grab hold of that revelation so we can turn around and share that with others. You know, in the midst of economic challenges and in the midst of the turmoil going on and uncertainty in the world, for the body of Christ, we're the ones that are supposed to have such a strong confidence in who Jesus is to us that we understand, like it was for the children of Israel. When it was dark in Egypt, they had light.
Amen.
You read the Amplified, it said they had natural light in their houses. So however it's got to happen, they had sun shining in their houses.
Amen.
When the Egyptians were in total darkness, so dark that the Bible says you could feel it. And the darkness that we see around us today is a darkness that you can feel. I mean, you can sense how dark it is in this world. But for the body of Christ, it ought to be as joy-filled and the most glorious days that has ever been known to mankind. Because we've got God living with us.
That's good. That deserves a hand clap like that. I like that. You know, George, I've learned in my Christian walk with the Lord when it was hard times. I want you to listen to this, people. Because when I first started out, I didn't have nothing. You understand what I'm saying? And sometimes somebody would steal an offering from me. And I needed that offering to eat. Mm-hmm. But instead of getting mad at the preacher, that guy and stuff, I would say, and I was hungry now. I was literally hungry, ladies and gentlemen. But I'd say, the devil said, well, what do you think about that? God ain't feeding you. God ain't meeting your needs. I said, you idiot, I get to fast. And that would just confuse the devil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're hungry. See, it was like Jesus in that desert. Mm-hmm. Turn them stone into bread. Mm-hmm. No, I get to fast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to turn off this physical generator because I ain't got nothing to put it on. Mm-hmm. I can't, and there's nothing to eat, and I'm going to fast. And you know what? He always made sure I had food.
Yeah. And that's in my book, Passing the Test of Life, that's really what you're doing.
Amen.
I personally believe that God sometimes will give you what I like to call divine frustrations and divine delays.
Yes, I understand.
And you know it's got to be a divine frustration. That's the person that you work with that, you know, you've been praying, casting them out. You done cast them out of your department. You done prayed for them to transfer somewhere else. No matter how many times you prayed to get them away from you, they keep moving closer to you. And I think that's one of those where God allows us to see that we got to grow up in some areas.
Yes.
And really pass some of these tests and get to the place to where we can learn how to just trust God for being God.
Yes.
And even if it's not always working out exactly the way we want, we can still maintain the character of Jesus Christ and demonstrate that we can show the world, even in the most difficult of times, that we still know how to respond the way Jesus would.
Well, you know, life is a test, isn't it? Yeah, that's good. Life is a test.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a lot of tests in my life. I never did like tests, but if you study for them, you always pass them. And the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing word of truth. See, if you don't study, it's possible you can wrongly divide the word of truth.
Sure.
It didn't say read. It said study. You need to get Bishop George Davis's book called Passing the Test of Life. It's up there on the screen. It will bless you. It will minister life to you. And I don't doubt that you're in this book yourself. Because I've learned something about George. I've learned something about the devil. He don't have any new tricks.
No.
What he's doing in Jacksonville, Florida, he's doing in New Orleans, Louisiana, or Los Angeles, or wherever you might live, Detroit, or Edinburgh, Canada, or whatever. You know, because the devil doesn't have any new tricks. He's a very old devil.
Yep.
I personally believe he's on the limits of retardation myself. You know, you got to be an idiot to think you can win a battle against God.
Sure.
But yet he thought he could. George, in just a few minutes, I want you to pray for the people. Because there's so many people that need to come to your church. They're in the Jacksonville area. And we're not trying to pull people away from other churches. There's so many people that are unchurched.
Yeah.
I find so many. I got to thinking if everybody in that casino that I was in a couple of weeks ago would have just come in there. I mean, all of them, there was no way.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that are not attending church. And there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason is because a lot of people hadn't let people see the Christ in them. The only Christ that some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. Yeah. And George, I made up my mind years ago that I want to be a reflection of Christ instead of casting a reflection upon Christ.
Yeah.
And that's called living clean and living holy. I want you to look in the camera because I know you're a man of God and a man of prayer. I want you to pray for people. Let's get some people saved right now.
Well, wherever you are watching this, I'd encourage you to just take this moment right now and allow yourself to embrace this reality. Jesus loves you. I didn't say he loves you because of what you've done. He's not going to stop loving you tomorrow if you didn't do everything right today. He loves you. And he died on the cross. The Father raised him from the dead, which was the greatest act of love ever known to mankind. The entire Bible is God's great love story. And in any boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy finds girl again, God lost mankind. He sent his son Jesus to find mankind. God. But you're the last piece in this love story because you got to open up your heart and give God an opportunity to come and reach you. And I know you may be sitting there saying, well, I've messed up too bad. I've done too many things wrong. But the reality is God is Alpha and Omega. He's not at the beginning and at the end. He is the beginning and he is the end. And the difference between God's love for us and a human's love is when he chooses and chose to place his love on us, he loves us with perfect knowledge of everything we would ever do. So whatever your mistakes are, he's already factored it into this great love story. And I want to just encourage you right now, just repeat these simple words. Just say, dear God in heaven.
Dear God in heaven.
I open up my heart right now.
I open up my heart right now.
I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
That Jesus Christ is your son.
That Jesus Christ is your
son.
That
he died for me.
That he died for me.
Paid the price for my sin.
Paid the price for my sin.
I ask you, Jesus.
I ask you, Jesus.
To come into my heart now.
Come into my heart now.
And save me now.
Save me now.
I turn away from sin.
I turn away from sin.
And I choose to follow you.
I choose to follow you.
According to the Bible.
According to the Bible.
I'm born again.
I'm born again.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I like that. Hallelujah. What a blessing of God.
Thank God.
What a blessing. Now, if you just prayed that prayer with Bishop George Davis, you are born again. Welcome to our family.
Welcome.
It's called the family of Christ. Hey, I'm your brother now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Think about that. I know I look like your grandpa, but I'm your brother. Praise God. What a blessing. Bishop, I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, Jesus.
For praying for the people and for believing in them and believing in the God that saved them. Just a simple prayer changed their life forever. If you're ever in the Jacksonville, Florida area, you got to go to Faith Christian Center, and you will be blessed. Bishop is there. You'll meet his wonderful wife, April, some wonderful people. You got one of the best choirs you'll ever hear in your life, too. And people can play, and they got some musicians on that make you want to move. Glory to God. They just know what they do. Thank you, Bishop,
Thanks,
for coming
Jesus.
Tonight. Give Bishop a great hand clap. Glory to God.
Woo!
I enjoyed that. What a blessing of the Lord. Pastor Mike Perkey's coming back right now to sing a wonderful song entitled Thanks to Calvary. Give Mike a hand clap.
listen. I said, hey, son, you don't need to have any fear. You've got a brand new daddy here. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live there, no, no, anymore.
A blessing of the Lord. I tell you what, man, that's a great song. Thank you, Michael. I like the way he sang that song. Got that beat to it. Mm-hmm. Little New Orleans in that. Glory to God. What a blessing of God. You know, I'm excited about my next guest. I've been knowing him for many years. He's got one that, he has one of the most unique churches. And it's in a place called Clovis, New Mexico. I mean, Clovis. And the way they talk, they say, this is Clovis. That's like Clovis, you know. Wonderful, wonderful church. And I got to give him a proper introduction. This is Pastor David Swan. He's pastor of Faith Christian Family Church in Clovis, New Mexico. He travels in the small county, America, with a message of hope, encouragement to pastors and their wives. I want you to give a wonderful hand clap to Pastor David Swan.
How you doing, sir?
Oh, glory to God. I mean,
that's okay.
You know, I've been preaching for you for many, many years. I enjoy going to your church because of your wonderful spirit and Roxanne's spirit. You have such a unique church. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, there ain't a lot of people in this town. I believe you have 1/10 of the city. Am I correct in that?
Correct.
What? Listen, that's big when you got a tithe of the city. Come on. I mean, thank this church is exploding. They just meet everybody's need. It's amazing. Tell me what's going on at Faith Family Christian Center.
Well, you know, Jesse, we did a Q&A because we have so many new believers.
Yes.
About 50% of the people that attend church there got saved there.
Amen.
So, you know, they're a product of what your church produces.
Sure.
So you want a good product and good things for them. But we did a Q&A, and the number one question from all these young Christians was, if God forgives us of all of our sins, and He does,
right,
when we get to heaven, what will we be judged for? If we're not judged for our past, because it's all forgiven and forgotten.
Right.
So, you know, digging through the scriptures, for whatever reason, I've always had this kind of interest and intrigue with heaven.
Right.
Even though I'm a pretty practical guy, you know, I try to live normal here on the planet and live for Jesus, but so I started digging, you know, to answer that question, and the judgment seat of Christ is for Christians.
Right.
But Paul, what he did is he borrowed a concept from the Greeks. Of course, you know, they were in a Roman culture, and the Romans really borrowed from all the different cultures, but really they loved the Greeks.
Right.
And what the judgment seat of Christ was is a term in the Greek means bema.
Right.
And it was a seat that these officials would sit on that would observe a sporting event to make sure that the participants competed lawfully. And then whoever won they would actually come off this elevated seat, sort of like if you watched a volleyball game. You know how a referee sits at a high spot at a volleyball game and watches. And that's how this seat was. So he borrowed it from something that they were very used to thinking about and seeing in their sporting events. And he said, when what Jesus is going to do is Jesus is going to reward us. Because this guy had come off the seat, go down, and whoever won the competition, he would get them, take them up on an award stand.
Amen.
Put a wreath on their head, and they would be celebrated.
Right.
So what's going to happen for us Christians,
glory to God,
is that when we get to heaven, we're not judged for our sins because they're gone.
Amen.
He doesn't remember them anymore. So what he's going to do is he's going to reward us.
Hallelujah.
According to what we've done in our body to be a blessing.
Amen.
To advance his kingdom.
Amen.
To be good to people. He said, if you give a cold cup of water.
In my name
to a righteous person.
Woo.
Now to us, we just go to the refrigerator or to the sink and get cold water. But to them, to get cold water, they had to go to the well.
Yes.
So there was a sacrifice.
Right.
There were some steps they had to take, you know, and they had to be inconvenienced a little bit to make it happen. But I want Christians to understand that if we could fast forward our lives to the end and know that there's going to be this incredible awards banquet.
Hallelujah.
Where we're all going to stand in the body of Christ.
Woo.
Potentially billions.
That's right.
Of people are going to stand there and listen as the Lord honors you.
Amen.
For what you did in your body. He said he's not unrighteous to forget anything that we've done for his name.
Not a thing.
So anytime you work in your church and people get saved, you know, at our church we had the most incredible thing at Easter. We had 175 people. Now, for our church, that's huge. I know other churches do that kind of regularly. That's huge for our church. 175 people, one service, gave their heart to the Lord. And a lot of times we think in our minds, well, Brother Jesse was preaching, so he's going to get all the rewards of the preacher.
No, no.
But the truth of the matter is there's thousands
that's
of people that are going to be rewarded for that one soul.
Amen.
Because some of them were praying, some of them work in the nurseries so that their children would be taken care of, so mom and dad could be focused to hear what Jesus is doing in their heart. And they didn't think about a child that's scurrying around. So our dirty diaper taker carers in our nurseries, they're going to be honored.
That's right.
Our team that was doing the music.
Yes, that's
our
very
ushers
important.
That greeted people as they were coming in the doors. I mean, across the board.
Amen.
Those 175 people.
That's wonderful. You know, you think about that, and it's sad to say this, but most people just see the pastor or the guest speaker. But there was somebody that morning that opened up that church.
Yeah.
There's somebody that morning put on the air conditioner or the heater, depending if it was winter or whatever. There was somebody making sure that the parking lot was fine so you could park. There was somebody, you know, making sure that when your kid got there, they might have a little treat, a little snack. And it's, I call it the untold love of the nameless.
There you go.
But God's got a name, and he knows their names. He goes, and I just can't get over that, you know. There are going to be some people say, Brother Jesse, you're going to be at the front of the line. No, I'm going to be way in the back of the line. There are going to be some people you ain't never heard of, never been on TBN, never been on television, but they touch their community. They minister greatly in that area, and they're going to be first. They
amazing.
Are going to be first,
yeah.
Which is okay with me.
Absolutely.
You know, that's what it's all about. But I got a feeling there are going to be two guys that we're going to have to wait a while. And when God says, Billy Graham, well, it's going to take a while. And next, Reinhard Bunke. Oh, Jesus, it's going to take a long time. Now, you know, passing out those rewards. See, it's not the white throne judgment. This is
correct.
The judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, the platform. Think about that. I think about when you were saying, I was thinking about when I was watching the Olympics, how they get up on that, you know, you got the gold, the bronze, and the silver. And I thought, you know, it's amazing to me how many people don't think much about the person standing on the bronze platform or on the silver. But out of 7 billion people, you number 3? That's pretty good.
Yeah, real good.
That's very, very good. And you may have lost the goal by 1/100 of a second. Think about that. But you see, God rewards people. It's going to be a great day. You know, that's amazing. That's a phenomenal question that the young Christians would ask.
Yeah.
Because you think, you know, it's almost like, well, what am I going to get? If I'm forgiven, see, we're so sin conscious. We're so used to God beating us up when he never did.
No.
I never seen Jesus with a stick and when the kids came, come here, you little, I'm going to beat your brain. He said, permit the children, he used the word suffer, and the word it means to permit. Permit the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. See, but I never seen Jesus say, I don't like your kid. Just knock him in the head. But yet the church world for over 2,000 years have preached that. God going to beat you and bust you and hurt you? No, he's not into that. That's an abuser that does that.
Well, think about this, Jesse. And I don't know about if everybody's the same. I have four kids.
Four kids.
Four children and five grandchildren. And
my
the
Lord.
Fastest way to my heart, if you want me to like you, then you like my babies.
Right.
If you're good to my children, my heart's just like, bam, you got me. I mean, I'm yours for the rest of forever.
That's right.
Because you were good to my kids. God's the same way.
You better know it.
When we're good to his kids.
Ooh. Ooh, I like that.
Just like that, he's like, hmm.
I like that person.
Those are my babies. Those are my babies.
Well, you know, David, I just thought of something. We are never God's adults. We are God's children.
Yeah, yeah.
My granddaughter came over. She just controls us. And we let her do it.
And love the whole
and
time.
And just love it all the time. And I have a beautiful home. God's blessed me greatly. And I got this phenomenal piano in my house and all this kind of stuff. And Meredith, she's 5 years old. She says, stand up and march, grandfather. She calls me grandfather. And like an idiot, I got up and marched. She said, I'm the teacher. Okay. And of course, her mama said, now don't give her something to eat because she won't be able to eat a supper. Well, she says, grandfather, I love chocolate. Now, I did give her the chocolate, okay? I had to come up with an idea, and maybe this was just a little deceitful. God forgive me. Make this sign of the cross. I told my daughter, she had a sugar low. Her sugar was low, so I had to give her a piece of candy to get it up. She said, Dad, you lying. Yes, I am. I can help. But you know what? When I see people reach out to her that I don't even know.
Yeah. No, that's exactly.
Oh, immediately, I like that individual.
Well, just think about this, Jesse. If the Lord's got angels, see, what Bishop George said, so true, that we get this picture that God's just looking for opportunities to swat us.
Yeah.
When in truth, it's the exact opposite.
Exact opposite.
Because he's forgiven us through Jesus.
Amen.
So every sin we've ever committed, ever will commit,
Amen.
Not so we can go sin a lot.
Right, that's right.
But
yes.
just to love him so
right.
much. And the greatest debt we can have is the debt of benevolence. He loves us so.
Ooh.
We love him, so I don't want to break his heart.
No,
you know,
indeed.
People say, do you fear God? Absolutely. But
yes.
That doesn't mean I'm afraid he's going to tee me up like a golf ball and swat me.
No.
No, it's the best definition and explanation of the fear of God I've ever heard was these boys were asking this eighth grader, come on, skip school with this. Let's go. We're going to run around. We're going to miss math and English. We're going to have a time of our life. And the boy was hedging. He wouldn't go with them. And they said, You're afraid what your daddy will do to you if you get caught. He said, no, you got it all wrong. He said, I'm afraid of what I'll do to my daddy and what I'll do to his heart.
Oh, man, that's good.
See, that's the fear of God. Yeah. The fear of God is not crouching,
right, no.
wondering when he's going to get us. It's he loves us
Amen.
So much. He's forgiven us.
Amen.
He's got angels that sit around that are accounting angels. They're CPAs of heaven.
Amen.
And what they're doing is they're watching every word you speak that's gracious.
Yeah.
That speaks and blesses and lifts people.
Amen.
Every time you sacrifice your money.
Sure.
Your time, your effort to make your church great and have the kingdom of God have influence in your region, your community. Every sacrifice you make that others may not see. Every prayer you pray that's totally unselfish for other people. Those angels are like, they're marking her down.
Amen.
He's not counting. He's keeping the books. Malachi 3 says that we can't even talk about his name without them writing down.
Glory to God.
So what I want to tell you Christians is that we got a great day coming.
Oh, glory.
And if we know the end, let's back it up to where we are right now and let's get after it.
Amen.
Let's build a great family.
Come on.
Let's build a great culture.
Oh, glory.
Let's love people. Let's make it hard for people to go to hell.
That's right.
Let's make it hard for people
That's right.
to reject God.
Right.
Let's make it easy for them to say, man, you guys are so
Amen.
Loving and
yeah.
so gracious.
Well, it's all about love. It
yeah.
said, love never faileth. Fear hath torment, you know. People say, boy, you're in love with God. I said, not only is that, he's in love with me. You know, I'm going to say something, and some people don't believe it, but it don't mean it. It's still true anyhow. There's sometimes I woke up and the presence of God was in my room. Now, I've had some major encounters with God. And I said, what you doing? He said, nothing. I said, what? He said, I was watching you sleep. And I thought, why would he do that? But and then immediately I thought, when Jody, now my daughter's now a full-grown woman, 41 years old, how many times when she was a baby and a small baby girl, I would walk into that room, look in that baby bed or whatever, or in her little room, and just watch her sleep. I said, Lord, I learned that from you, didn't I? He said, yeah. And it's just so wonderful. I just have a wonderful time with the Lord
That's
Jesus.
That's so great.
I love motorcycles. Some people don't believe that. I said, Lord, you want to go riding? Yeah. Got to get on the back of that motorcycle. The other day, I was riding that motorcycle. The Holy Ghost come upon me. I got tears coming out of my eyes. I'm praying in tongues, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm warned. The Lord said, going a little fast, a little faster, a little fast. He said, there's a cop down the road. There's a cop down the road. Now, people don't believe that, but he did. So I just slowed down, got real humble. Now, you know, people say, oh, I don't believe that. I don't care. I don't mean that rudely. It's still truth.
That's right.
And that was, he wanted to ride with me. He knew I liked that. And I said, Lord, why'd you give me this motorcycle? He said, because I knew you would enjoy it. He said, and when you enjoy something, Jesse, I enjoy something. Oh. And when my daughter enjoys something, or my granddaughter, my wife, she enjoys something, David.
Nothing like it.
And when the church enjoys something, we had a wonderful Easter service. It was a blessing of God. And I told them, I said, you know, and all them little kids wanting them, they had a, what they call it, Easter egg hunt. Some kids didn't know what that was. They said, do we get to shoot them? No, you don't shoot them. Said, it's an Easter egg hunt. You just pick them up. Now, and it's the first time I think my granddaughter ever been on an Easter egg hunt. I think so. And she thought, she started picking up eggs, and she had one with the same color. I got one like this. You can have that one. Give me. She was swapping out different colors. It was wonderful. Wonderful. But you know what? Easter ought to be every Sunday.
Yes, yes.
But you know what? I noticed something on Easter. Now, I believe you can embrace this. There's something about Easter. I call it Easter power.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the resurrection.
Oh, it's the best.
Power of the resurrection. You see people. I mean, there's hope there.
There's hope.
There's just
hope.
Something there. But what you don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, it's there every Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't just wait for Easter or Christmas. You can get it every Sunday. And you can bring your church. I had a lady come the other day. We had a big thing, big picnic at our church. She says, I don't go to this church, but is it okay to bring my grandchildren? I said, well, yes. She said, and she came back after all of it. They were having fun, all that kind of stuff. She said, this is such a secure place and a safe place. Mm. Is it okay if they come and visit? I said, they come visit anytime. She said, we're Catholic. I said, so am I. She said, you what? I said, I was christened and confirmed a Catholic. If you're from New Orleans, Louisiana, you got to be Catholic at least once. I mean, we don't even have counties. You got counties, right? New Mexico? We got parishes. Why? In nomine Patria, Fili, Espiritu Santi. Don't get mad at me now. You understand what I'm saying? Because it was the archdiocese. It was the parishes. She said, can I still be Catholic? Sure. So now I found out that she goes to her mass at 7:30 or at 7 o'clock, and then she comes over to our church at 10. Fine with me. Grandkids enjoying it. Everybody happy. I ain't trying to, even the priest like me. You see what I'm saying? Why? I ain't trying to hurt that woman. I ain't trying to pull out. I'm just letting my light shine.
There you go. There you go.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Dave?
Oh, totally. You know, there's an Australian gentleman that developed the bubble wrap that's, they put in packages and stuff to protect it. And he's a Christian. He's a believer. And he said the greatest thing, he and his partner $10 million for the bubble wrap.
My Lord.
And he said, the nice thing about having $5 million is I can be good to whoever I want to be good to.
Amen.
And he said, the rest of my life I'm going to be good to people. And he's telling me some stories. And I walked right from the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what I've empowered every one of my sons.
Ooh, glory.
And every one of my daughters, that we can be good to whoever we want to be good to.
Amen.
So here's the key. Do to one person, what you wish you could do for everybody.
Yeah.
Just start with one.
Yeah.
Start with somebody. So what we did, Brother Jesse, is we got all this church and all these church folk, all this great human effort and power, and we can mobilize people. We said, let's be good to kids. So how can we be good to children? Do something for them that they don't deserve, just like God's His unmerited favor on us. So we decided we'd give away backpacks every school year, and we'd give away school supplies. And we started off. We didn't think there'd be that many folk. We made a little ad and said, if you need that, come on. And the line went around our building. We ran out. We took names down of the kids. My wife got up in church, said it cost $30 for a backpack and the school supplies with tears. She said, who'll help us? We got 50 kids that didn't get a backpack, man. Blah, 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 blah. So year after year, we've done that now. Now we give away thousands of those every single year. and then we said, let's be good to older people that have made America great. Their sacrifices empowered us to be where we are today. So we do an oil change and a car wash. And we had this elderly woman look and said, you know, I was in a dilemma. I didn't know whether to to fill my prescription or to change my oil. And she said, since you guys did this for me, I can go get my prescription filled.
Isn't that something?
And she said, can I do something? She grabbed my hand. She said, honey, can I do something for you? And I said, no. And I kissed her hand and said, you've done so much for us. Let us just do this for you this time.
Amen.
And Brother Jesse, we served 300 elderly people,
glory
changed their oil. We partnered sure. with a local place that changes yeah. oils, and then we've done it now with a number of them. That week, I get more pies and cookies. And they work on the role of the pastor right here. But we just decided as a church, let's be good to people.
Amen.
Let's decide who we want to be good to. Let's just be good the rest of our lives. Let's be good yeah. to people. People that can't pay us back.
Right.
People that can't do anything back for us.
Right.
And we can just say we want to be good
yeah,
to them.
Yeah, glory to God. And that people love that.
Oh.
Well, that's what God does.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what he's done to all of us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think Pastor Swan just told you, a lot of you ministers, secret of touching your city, touching your county, touching your suburb, wherever you might live. You're just being good to people. You know, I don't try to hurt people. You know, I had a person ask me one time, what's the difference between being hurt and offended? I said, that's very simple. When you get hurt, you look for someone to heal you. It's like a child hurt. Mama, kiss it. Make it feel better. Now, when you get offended, you look for somebody to hurt. The church mafia kicks in. We're going to make you an offer. You don't refuse. You understand? No. So I refuse to be offended. I refuse that. You can do what you want to me, and I've had the best just eat my lunch in a sense. But I tell you what, it doesn't make any difference because, you know, Christ, the hope of glory is in us. We just got a minute left. Look into the camera, David, and let your spirit flow. I know that spirit because I know you for many, many years. And let's touch some more people for Jesus. Would you do that?
Well, I know Bishop George prayed for people that don't know Christ, and man, that's a passion of mine. I love that. But, you know, I want to talk to you, Christian. You are so powerful. You have such purpose and such love that's been deposited inside of you. And now just don't think about what you haven't done, that God's disappointed with your life. He's not. He's just ready for you to jump up and say hello tomorrow and go into your day and look for an opportunity to be good to whoever you encounter.
Amen.
Almost to say, Lord, may your sovereignty rest over my life. And whoever I come in contact with, I'm going to be good to.
Amen.
Lord, whatever doors you open up, I'm going to walk through. If it's telling them the truth, if it's telling them the good news of your goodness and grace, or Lord, if it's actually serving, making an apple pie and taking it to someone that's hurting. I'm telling you,
hallelujah,
your life counts.
Amen.
And it may not count because I may never meet you, but it'll count because of the people that live next to you, the people you go to church with, the people that are depending on you like your children and your grandchildren.
Amen.
You have purpose.
Amen.
He loves you so much. And the best days of your life are ahead of you. They're not behind you.
Glory to God.
We love you here at TBN. Brother Jesse and I love you.
Yes, I do.
You got some folk that love you.
We do.
We love you.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, we'll never run out of love. We'll always love you. TBN will love you. And if you're ever in Clovis, New Mexico, you got to go to this man's church. I'm telling you, you'll be greeted by some wonderful people. They will bless you. Minister, that's Faith Christian Family Church. Thank you, David
Swan. Thank you, Brother Jesse.
You're a blessing of God. Hallelujah. What a blessing of the Lord. Woo! You know, I get the honor. You know, some people think it's an honor for me to come to church. No. That ain't nothing. You know, I get the honor of meeting men like you and getting in those environments and those atmospheres that y'all created and have the honor of just preaching the gospel. It's just such a blessing of the Lord. Let me say it again. TBN loves you. They really do. And I mean that sincerely. And I tell you what, you want to call someone and talk to somebody right now, you can do that. There's always a number on the screen. And someone will minister greatly to you. Brother Perky is coming back to sing a wonderful song entitled, Consider My Source.
The devil's like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Through the blood of Jesus, I got overcoming power. And though he tries to stop me in the work of the Lord, just keep pressing on and consider my source.
My source is Jesus. He is the great I am. Keeps me when I'm walking through a dry desert land. He's the rock that I stand on, my everything and more. When Satan comes against me, I consider my soul. But he can be defeated if you get on your knees and pray. Just cancel his assignment in the name of the Lord. Say, get behind me, devil. I consider my source. My source is Jesus. He is the great I am. Keeps me when I'm walking through a dry desert land. The rock that I stand on. Praise him with me. On, consider my source. My source is Jesus. He is the great I am. He keeps me when I'm walking through a dry desert land. The rock that I stand on, my everything and more. When Satan comes against me, I consider my source. He's my source. He's my source. He's my source. He's my source. My source is Jesus. He is the great I am. He keeps me when I'm walking through a dry desert land. The rock that I stand on, my everything and more. When Satan comes against me, I consider my source. He's the rock that I stand on, my everything and more. When old Satan comes against me, I consider my soul.
Praise the Lord Jesus. That's Pastor Mike Perkey, glory to God, singing that Consider My Source. And you, when you consider Jesus Christ, that's the best source you'll ever get in your life. I hope you're enjoying the program tonight, because I'm enjoying it. It's such a blessing of the Lord. If you hadn't called a friend, tell them to turn that television on. Hey, we are having a wonderful time around the throne of God. Are you people here in the studio, you learning something? You getting something out of this? What a blessing of God. I don't know about you people, but I tell people all the time, I go to church naturally to feed my soul, but I want to learn something. Because when I walk out of there, I want to use what I heard. Because I know the devil going to try to do something that week anyway. And God's always ahead of him. My next guest, I've been knowing since he's a little boy. I can almost say it a sense. I've been knowing him for many, many years. I got to give him a proper introduction. His name is Pastor Mark Trice. He's senior pastor of Maranatha Church in Mount Bellevue, Texas. Been an ordained minister since he's 18, has been ministering in various churches, conferences, worldwide mission settings. I tell you what, one of the finest churches in the state of Texas. I'd like you to give a wonderful hand clap to Pastor Mark Trice. Thank you, sir, Mark. Thank you, man. What a blessing of the Lord. You know, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, Mark. Your daddy has been such an inspiration in my life. Your father got the same color hair I have, praise God. And that's Pastor Ronnie and Sandy Trice there in Mount Bellevue, Texas. I want to ask you a question, and I never have asked this to anyone, but I felt led of the Lord to do it, and I was looking at the bio here, and you got one of your points here. Your father built that church, and you became probably a youth pastor or whatever, and I know one thing you do. You do what he tells you to do. You've been a very faithful a son as well as a servant to the work there at Maranatha. But the time came when your father said, I'm turning this church over to you as senior pastor. Now, I want to know how, but he's still dad. I mean, you still go to the house and all kinds. You had to take over
from him, and even though he's still pastor emeritus, I'm pretty sure he's there to help you. How do you work that? And how do you and your family, how does that work together to be able to take that work? I know you must feel good about it and just take it to the next level, kind of like Joel Osteen did with John Osteen. That's what Mark Trice is doing to Ronnie Trice's ministry. So tell me, how do you do that, and how did you get started doing that?
Well, first of all, I want to say it's an honor for me to be here, honor to be here with all of you guys. And, you know, when I sit back and I look at our church sometimes, I'm just humbled. On right. Sunday morning, you know, and there's so many people out there. And, well, we have a huge, diverse crowd. I mean, lots of black folks, lots of Hispanics, lots of white folks, Asian people. And, I mean, there's attorneys out there, and there's, you know, presidents of this and presidents of that. So there's farmers and rodeo guys. I mean, just everything in the world out there. Uh-huh. And I'm just humbled sometimes. I think, my God, I can't believe these guys are here to listen, you know, to what I have to say. Uh-huh. But, you know, I'm blessed. I'm the guy that's actually living the dream. Prince. I mean, I have always dreamed of being a pastor of a church and Amen. Always dreamed of following after my father's footsteps. And I was raised in a home, and my dad and mom, man, they were godly people.
Oh, yes.
Buddy, they raised us up in the ways of the Lord. I have been to church in blue jeans. I have been to church in a little suit and with shorts. I have been to church in a baseball uniform and a football uniform. I have been to church whatever I was doing. It didn't matter whether we was ready or not. Come church time, we're going to church. And Dad said, you can be ready to go or you can go just like you are, whichever one you want to do. But, you know, early on in life, you're working around the church, doing different things. And at first, you're pretty much just doing what you're told to do.
Right.
And doing the work and everything. And as years go by, you figure out, well, you know, I want to just do what I'm told to do. But then you get to where you like the work.
Right.
And you enjoy doing the work.
Amen.
And I think that's what God has for us, you know, down the road. You know, we start enjoying what we're doing. We start enjoying the things. And boy, man, I have been everything in the world. And my heart goes out to every preacher's kid that's out there. And one of the reasons that Joel's had success, one of the reasons that Happelman's had success, or a lot of these other preacher kids that we all grew up together knowing each other and everything, is because they grew up having to do everything.
Right.
I mean, man, I've been the custodian. I've cleaned toilets, you know. I've pushed those vacuum cleaners. And, you know, in our church, we have an acre of carpet. And so there's a lot of carpet in there. And then you become a children's pastor, and then you become a youth pastor. And, man, finally, I just feel like, man, I'm at the top of the world, you know. I finally get to be a pastor, and I finally get to teach and preach the Word of God and everything.
Hallelujah.
And then I get there, and I figure out, my dad is a brilliant man because he has pastored that church for 30-some-odd years and has never preached the same message twice.
Right.
And I'm thinking, how in the world did this guy raise me and preach like that? And every single time, man, I mean, I sit back and I think, man, my dad, he preached a message Sunday morning. He preached one Sunday night. He preached one Wednesday night. And this is the truth. I don't know if I've ever heard him preach the same message twice till this day. And, you know, when we made our transition, it was a neat thing. A lot of times when people make transitions, it's a scandal in a church.
Right.
Or somebody dies, you know. And, you know, thank God that there's other guys to come up to do that. But, you know, ours was a little bit different. You know, when he handed the deal over to me, he said, I'm going to be there to help you. I'm going to be there to do whatever you want to do. And, you know, sometimes my dad make a suggestion. He's never forceful. He's never, you know.
Yeah.
But he says, no, son, I think you ought to do this. And what he's saying is this is the better way. And it's just been a blessing for me.
Amen.
And my dad's been my best friend for I don't know how long.
Amen.
My mother prays for me. My sister goes to our church. She prays for me. And we have a close-knit family.
Amen.
And, you know, my dad, you know, when we made this transition. I mean, you know, he helped and he built this thing. And boy, I mean, you know, he just go-getter kind of, you know. And I could see it was a little difficult for him and it was difficult for me. But you know what? We have the same thing in common.
Amen.
We want to see people come to know the Lord.
Amen.
We don't care what color they are. We don't care what background they come from. We just want to see people come to know Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, I've been knowing your mother and father for many, many years, Mark, and I know you have that same spirit that's on him as on you. And it's amazing, you know, when I'd see Mark, he always would come pick me up when I'd go preach for his dad. Now he's still picking me up when I'm preaching for him. I'm waiting for Ronnie to pick me up one day, he says, for Pastor Mark. But anyway, to make a long story, you know, your children grew up. You got a wonderful wife who was a very great, great singer and things of that nature. But when you took that church, let me ask you this question. Did you have to preach a sermon twice? Did your dad figure out you preached one twice? Or did you go steal his notes?
I preached a lot of his messages.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Glory to God.
Every time I preach, you know, something that I share probably is stimulated by something him or my mother has taught. My mother's just a great Bible teacher. I mean, she can find one little word and talk for 3 hours on one little word. And, you know, but so every time I preach, there's something in there that they've imparted into my life. But, you know, in our situation, in our lives, I didn't want to do away with what my dad did.
Right.
And I know a lot of these other preachers' kids that I know, they don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, they see what their parents have done and the work and the pain and the tears that go into ministry.
Sure.
And they see things from such a different perspective.
Amen.
And you know what it's like, you know, when the children's guy says, oh, I'm not going to be there, you know, 5 minutes before service starts.
Right.
And you know what it's like, you know, when the sound guy says, well, you know what, you think you can do it any better? Well, get out here and try, you know, and he walks off. They know what all that's like, and they've been there, and they feel that pain, and it hurts, you know. I've only been the main pastor for the senior pastor for the last 4.5 years, but man, it hurts when somebody leaves your church.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I mean, you feel that. It's like one of your kids leaving, you know.
Right.
And even those that leave on good terms, you know, man, it hurts, you know. And those that leave on bad terms, at first you think, well, get on out of here, you know. Let me help you. But then you start thinking back, you think, oh, man, you know, that hurts, you know. I love that guy, you know. I miss him now.
Yes, indeed.
But anyway, I never want to do away with what my dad did. I honor him, and I still honor him to this day.
Amen.
You know, and I thank God that I'm allowed to be a kind of an Elisha, to be Elijah, you know, and just take up where he left off. And so many preachers' kids do that, you know. They get everything their fathers taught them, but then they get everything else that everybody else teaches them too, so they can carry it to another level.
Sure.
And the reason our deal works is because I honor them. And the reason our deal works is because of the anointing of God.
Well, I know the anointing of God is on you and your wife and on that church. But did you find, when you came up with different ideas, because I know you've got a vision for that church, so what's Maranatha going to do in the future? Even though you're not stopping anything that your mom and dad did, by no means, but I know God has given you some things and direction. The reason why I say that, because I remember Joel Osteen, when he first took the church from John Osteen, I was preaching there. He said, I want to talk to you. And we talked about some things, and he would always wear his father's shoes. John, a lot of people don't know that. Joel would wear his John Osteen's shoes for quite a few years. And then one day the Lord said, put your own shoes on. That doesn't mean he forgot about John. No, it's not the issue. In other words, there are going to be some pathways. There are going to be some things that Mark Trice is going to do because the Spirit of God quickened him to do it that he didn't quicken Ronnie Trice. So how do you handle that? Do you go to your dad about it? Say you feel like God is leading me to take the church in this direction? How do you do that?
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny you should mention those names because we've known Joel and his father for years and years. Joel's father, John.
Right.
Was my father's pastor. And so we were all around each other for a long time. And I'll be honest with you, people say whatever they want to about different preachers or whatever.
Right.
Every one of those folks, Joel, his wife, his mother,
right,
his sisters, his brother-in-laws, man, they're all just super nice people. They
give
you the shirt off their back.
Yeah, they're wonderful people.
But, you know, people do things different. God's anointing in Joel is different than the anointing is in John. You know, Joel don't preach like John did.
Right.
But still the anointing of God, and he's had great results,
amen,
you know, because of it. And the same way in our lives. You know, I do things a little bit different than my dad did. But, you know, I think he embraces the diversity, you know, and he embraces the fact that, hey, you know, things have to change.
Right.
You know, one of the things in our deal is we wore suits. Golly, you know, And, you know, my dad would always say, we have a ranch, and, you know, one of the things that I would always do is have to feed horses and stuff in the morning. And he would get so frustrated, you know, because I'd have an Armani suit on, and, man, by the time I got to the church, there'd be mud on my shoes and mud halfway up. He would always say, it doesn't matter what you have on. You look like you just rolled out of bed or just came out of the barn. And one of the things in our church, you know, I really wanted to do, and I didn't know how I was going to take it, you know. I said, man, I looked out there, and there's, you know, hundreds, thousands of people out there, and the only guys wearing suits were me and the staff. And I said, I don't even like to wear it, you know? And I told Dad, I said, you know what, I'd really like, you know, we wear jeans and boots all day long, and why don't we just go like that to church, you know? I said, we'll put a jacket on for Sunday morning. So, and, you know, I thought for sure, well, this is going to be it here. He's going to draw the line. And you know what he said? He says, well, Mark, if that's what you want to do, I'll help you do it. And and that's his attitude. You know,
right.
If this is what you want to do, I'll help you do it. You know, and some of the changes we've had to make slow, you know, and so that nobody just gets whiplash or feel like they're in a tornado. But most everything, you know.
Sure.
I want to do things pleasing to God.
Sure.
And I want to do things that, you know, my parents, I want them to sit back and be proud of me. And all these other
Amen.
Preacher's kids, they won't
sure.
do the same thing, man. Your kids want to do
well,
the
yes,
same
indeed.
Thing.
Well, you know, talking about the suits and stuff, you know, it seemed like in the church world, the casual spirit has hit the church world.
Thank God. Thank God.
And, you know, and Kathy, my wife loves, she said, Jesse, you were made for a suit. You look good in a suit. I said, woman, have you ever been preaching with your veins hanging out your neck, with a knot tied around your neck, sweat running down your back, so you can look good? I said, I want to take that knot, that tie, and just throw it away. And all of a sudden, of course, I like being open collared and all that kind of stuff. Now, Kathy still likes them suits, you know.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, the other night, she didn't know it, but ready to go to bed, I come walking out in a suit.
Yeah.
She said, what are you doing? I said, pleasing you.
There you go.
Just pleasing you. But I understand. I mean, I understand. But, you know, everybody does different things different ways. But the end result that people may come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, one of the most amazing things about y'all churches, ladies and gentlemen, you may not realize that Maranatha in Mount Bellevue, Texas, it's right in the middle of an oil refinery. I'm not talking about on the side of the road here. I mean, in the middle of the oil refinery. All this oil and all this stuff is all around there. And I got to thinking that the wealth of the wicked laid up for the just.
That's right.
Oh, just think if you just go over there and punch a hole in one of them pipes, you could fill your car up. No, don't do that. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know? So what does the future hold for Mark Trice?
Well, I'll tell you what. The only future I'm looking for is to be pleasing to God.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I want to do what God leads us to do.
Amen.
And I want to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And, you know, some of the changes in the church, like I said, they've been slow. We still wear a suit from time to time, you know. I always tell everybody, if you want to see me in a suit, you're going to have to die first. When I preach your funeral, I'll wear my suit. Or if I marry, I'll wear that suit. And a lot of people, they'll see us, you know, they'll say, well, do you pastor a cowboy church? And it's a funny thing because I preach at a lot of them.
Sure.
And, you know, we got friends, mutual
sure.
friends in
Amen.
Amarillo, and then some in Colorado and some in Texas, Brother
right.
Sonny. And I preach at lots of those, but ours is not a cowboy church.
No.
We're just, I'm just a pastor that happens to be a cowboy.
Right.
And anyway.
Well, y'all introduced me to the cowboy church. I never forget your dad, and you said, Jesse, you ever preach at a cowboy church? See, I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana. The only time we ever seen a horse was in a movie.
Yeah.
you don't see no a cow as a steak on your plate. Not a real actual cow. One time, I got to say this, I tell you, it was funny. I was coming to preach to them, and Mark is a great horse rider. You understand what I'm saying? He knows how to ride a horse. These people know. And Sonny Rice was a cutting horse champion
yes.
back in the 80s. I mean, so he wanted me to ride a cutting horse, and I found out that Rod Parsley did it, and that horse threw Rod Parsley, just threw him or something. And they were laughing because a cutting horse, tell me if I'm wrong, Mark, when he turns, he doesn't turn with his head, he turns with his rear end. And you got to be ready. So Sonny said, now listen to me, Brother Jesse, and they're all kind of snickering. Now, when people are snickering, that means something's up. I mean, let the elevator go to the top, you know. But Mark was helping me out. He said, now, you want to keep your feet down and then watch how you handle this. I knew something was up.
And they all thought I did good. That horse tried, it didn't throw me in it, all that kind of stuff. It was just so much fun. But I thought I was doing pretty good until Mark got on that horse. And when that horse saw Mark, you could see him like, I humble myself. I just humble myself. That horse knew Mark was the boss hog of that place, you know. But, you know, even though you're a cowboy, you got a great heart for Jesus. And that's what it's all about. And when you're giving those altar calls, and you know, you go through things that I've never gone through, even though I'm a lot older than you are, yet I see a maturity in you. I see a maturity in the church that you pastor, a maturity in the worship and all those different things. And what I really like about Maranatha, and I'm not just tooting the horn here for you because you're my friend, is that people love y'all. I see an actual love. Well, you know, love is not asked for. Love is earned. You have to earn that. And I know that your mother and father earned it. And you pick that up from them. And Mark, I want you to pray for people. Because I'm going to tell you something. This man knows how to pray. Because I've heard him pray in his church. I want you to look in that camera. I want you to pray for people. Minister to them. People are going to get saved. Because I don't doubt there might be some old cowboy just got a pinch between his cheek and his gum. Is that right, Mark? Did I do it right? Okay. I don't know exactly what that is. But whatever that is. And this man is going to touch you. But he also touched the lawyers. Listen, if lawyers and presidents of corporations are coming to his church, they must be comfortable. They may not be cowboys, and they may be, and they may not be. But one thing they do at that church, they make you comfortable. So, Mark, make us comfortable. Look in your camera and lead people to Jesus.
I want to encourage everybody to love those that are around you. You'll never know how important they are till they're gone. I embrace our staff. I embrace those guys that raised up in our church, and some of them come through our youth ministry. Some of them I've just known a long time. But there's people on your right, people on your left, and there's people of diverse backgrounds. But just learn to love every single person.
Amen.
And you'll find out that you'll be able to receive from somebody if you're able to give into their lives. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. And God, I thank you for every man, woman, and child that's here and those that are listening by television, Father God. And God, we know that there's so many different walks of life, Father God, and the devil wants to separate us and divide us. But Father God, you are the one that sent Jesus to unite us.
Amen.
You sent
Amen.
Jesus so that we could be united to you, Father God, and we could be united to our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. And Father God, sometimes we think different. Sometimes we have different ideas. But one thing is the same. It takes the blood of Jesus.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
To purify every one of us. And we're all sinners and we've all done things wrong. And God, I pray for the cowboy. And God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help him. Help him, Father God, to know when he gets bucked off, he's got to get backed on. And Father God, I pray for the businessman. And when he fails, let him turn to you and not to a bottle. God, we pray for those in different walks of life, Father God, that have went the wrong way. God, we pray for the lost sheep, Father God. We
yes,
pray
Lord
for the prodigal
Jesus.
Son. And God, we pray for those that have walked far, far away, God. We ask in Jesus' name that you would give us the love and the patience to speak the right word into their lives, Father God. God, we give you the praise. And God, we give you the glory. And Lord, we thank you for the anointing.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
It's on your children's lives everywhere, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a great God bless you for that. Mark, whoo, powerful, powerful prayer. Powerful prayer, brother. I mean that sincerely. If you prayed that prayer with Pastor Mark Trice, there's a place you can call right there. Call someone here at TBN and say, you know, I just gave my life. Listen to that young man preach the gospel. If you're ever in the Mount Bellevue area, that's around Baytown, Texas, my Lord, you need to go to Maranatha Church. Everybody knows where it's at. It's a big dome. It will bless you and minister. I promise you, you'll be comfortable in that church. And then maybe you get a chance to meet Mark's parents, Ronnie and Sandy Trice. They are wonderful people. Blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Mark, I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come. I know you got to get back to the horses. No, I'm just joking. Praise God. You know, and all those different things. One day you're going to have to teach me how to ride a little better, do some of those things, because I know you can handle them animals. And you can also, it's amazing. I like to watch that. You know, I kind of call it like a horse whisperer or something like that, how you can do those things. But I also see him get in the pulpit. Even when he's introducing me, he knows how to handle his sheep. And he loves them. And that's what it's all about. Blessing of God. Thank you for coming today. You bless me. Go ahead.
Let me just say, I remember that day He had a hat on. He turned it around backwards. He went out there. Jesse ride a horse pretty darn good.
That's called hold on for dear life. That's what it is. Pastor Mark Perkey is coming right back to sing another wonderful song entitled You're Still Lord. Give him a hand clap. Come on.
When I was just a child, I heard the beautiful story. How you loved me so. You gave your life on Calvary. And though I claimed you way back then as Lord Almighty, you see, things haven't changed. My love's still the same. You're still Lord to me. Hallelujah. You're still Lord. You're still my Father. In little or much, I still feel your touch, 'cause you're still Lord. You're still for all of time, you're still Lord. Some have called you Lord, but now they serve another. To worldly things their heart has pledged its loyalty. But here's a testimony from my heart. But as for me, when I made my choice, it was forever. Just as before, and even more, you're still Lord to me. Hallelujah. Well, you're still Lord. You're still my Father. In little or much, you see, I still need your touch, 'cause you're still my Lord. Yeah, you're still Lord. You're still my Father. You're still Lord. You'll always be mine for all of time. You're still Lord. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You're still Lord. I love that song. Thank you, Mike. What a blessing of God. He really knows, has an anointing on his voice, anointing the minister to people in song. What a blessing of God. You just got a few more minutes. If you hadn't called a friend yet, to tell them to turn that television on. We're having such a wonderful show. People are learning things, different perspective about certain things. My next guest, I've been knowing for many, many years. I preached one time a tent revival in the parking lot with water at least a foot deep. People get knocked out of the Holy Ghost and they float out the tent. That's not an exaggeration. I'm telling you, we had to go grab people, pull them with water everywhere. But George Sawyer is one of the finest men I've ever met in my life. I just found out his wife there is Phyllis back over there. Glory to God. What a blessing. Let me give him a proper introduction. This is Pastor George Sawyer from Decatur, Alabama. He's founding pastor of Calvary Assembly in Decatur, Alabama. He's the founder of the daily program, radio program called Catch the Vision. Let's give George a great hand clap. George, thank you, sir. What a blessing. Blessing of the Lord. You know, you are a preaching machine. I mean, I've heard you preach the gospel, and you're going to find about that in just a few minutes here. Tell me what God is doing, George, because I know it's something good.
You know, Jesse, God is doing some great things. During this month of March, the preceding month, we saw, through some outreaches we did, we saw over 700 people commit their life to Christ. We had over 300 people baptized in water. Hallelujah. We set up a baptistry, and people spontaneously just began to come up and be baptized in our outreach services.
Praise the
Lord.
We
put in an 18-foot baptistry diameter in both of our campuses. We baptized as many as 7 people in one family at a time.
My
whole
Lord.
Families being baptized in water. People getting up out of the congregation that hadn't even planned to come in. A lady was driving down the interstate, coming back from spring break with she and her daughters. She said God spoke to her. She needed to be in a church. She turned off the interstate, drove into our building. She got saved. She and all 3 of her daughters got baptized that morning. We just, everywhere we turned, it has been a month of harvest and revival.
Glory to God.
We just thank God for it. It's been exciting.
Woo! I love hearing testimonies like that. I've been to your church many, many times. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in Decatur, Alabama, you don't try this church. You do this church. And they got one of the greatest praise and worship teams, too. It's a blessing of God. And what is God speaking to you in terms of your ministry of preaching? Because you are a fabulous preacher. Well, and what is God saying? I know you got a book coming out and everything.
Yes,
a lot of things are happening. But what are you preaching?
Well, you know, there's just something. God's gripped my heart. I believe that we're in a season. You know, Bishop Davis talked about time being marked, and these great pastors that have been on tonight, what an honor to be here with them. But I believe this is a year, a revolutionary year. I believe we've reached a time where God's going to multiply.
Hallelujah.
Where things that took a year are going to take a month.
Amen.
The favor of God, the anointing of God. But it's not just because we need more stuff.
Right.
The kingdom of God is getting ready to explode in unprecedented ways through his church. And I believe that's what we're in the midst of. And I believe one of the things that has been the hardest thing to do, but we're going to see it happen, is happening now. It's what the book's all about, the resurrection of authentic manhood.
Amen.
I believe men that are the gateway to families and cultures and businesses and governments and schools, cities and regions. God is going to resurrect men who have been dead in sins and call them out of the darkest, deepest places.
Hallelujah.
We're going to see it happen.
Amen.
Right now.
It's time.
It's time.
You
it's
know,
God's time.
Yeah, I think God doesn't have any more time. He never has wasted time.
No.
But I feel an urgency in my spirit.
Yes.
I mean that sincerely. God told me to believe the unbelievable and receive the impossible.
Absolutely.
And I got to thinking everything I've ever done is unbelievable. Everything I've ever done is impossible. And if you look at the Bible, George, it's unbelievable and it's impossible, but yet it's doable.
That's it.
And that's what God is saying to you there in Decatur.
He just stirred my heart, challenged us to believe for men to be saved in an unprecedented manner.
Hallelujah.
You know, the ladies, the women of God have carried the church. They're prayer warriors. They're the backbone of the church. They're fantastic.
Yes. Amen.
Our ladies. You know, what would we would not be here.
That's right.
Without these praying ladies. But I'm going to tell you something, and I want to say this to the ladies that are listening tonight. Your prayers are going to be answered. Your prayers are being answered. Your family right now is about to change and shift and move around.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you, you're not going to drag your husband to church anymore. Your husband's going to drive you
Preach
to church
it,
right now.
Come on.
You're going to see it happen.
That's the truth.
It's happening.
Know, it's time.
It's time.
I call it this. It's time to receive.
Yeah.
People have been giving. People have been doing it. It's time, bless God,
it's right.
to see cities get saved.
Yeah, and I want people to get ready. You remember when the church, Peter had been taken prisoner for preaching the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And the church was praying, God, save this man, save this man. And then he comes and knocks on the door and they're scared to death and won't let him inside the house. You know, I'm going to tell you, we better be ready.
Amen.
Because God is about to call a generation of men out of the tomb. Everyone else says, leave them alone. It stinks inside there. Don't move that stone. They've been dead too long. I'm telling you today that God is going to bring men.
Woo,
and they're
going
to change families, homes, cities, businesses.
Come
We're
on.
About to have an earthquake.
Amen. Well, you know, God said that. You know, he said that in the last days there would be a great falling away. And sad to say, I see that happening.
Yes.
But there's a great renewal.
Yes, you
know,
there is.
And, you know, I hear but people say, boy, there's so many sinners in the world. Yeah, there are a lot of them. That means that's a harvest for me.
Absolutely.
When you tell me there's a sinner, man, that's like telling me, go.
That's
sick them.
That's
you know
right.
what I'm saying?
That's
Just
all it
go. Takes.
And because God's raising that faith up, Pastor Jesse. And, you know, you've always spoken that faith into our church. You've
Amen.
Been a voice of faith, encouragement, believing God, dreaming big, unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
And you've God used you to put that in our lives,
George,
in my life.
I tried doubt. It don't work.
Yeah, not much fun.
It ain't much fun. You know, I mean, just how poor you want to be.
Exactly.
Just how sick you want to be.
Exactly.
I had a man told me, he said, I've been knowing you for 30-something years. I ain't never seen you sick. I said, I tried it once. It did not feel good.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. And then I saw something in the scripture. He took my infirmity. Oh, yes. Lord Jesus.
Yes, come on.
He bore my sickness. I said, if he took it, I don't want it.
That's right.
If he bore it, I don't need it.
That's right.
And by his stripes, I am healed.
Absolutely.
And I mean,
Amen.
I just am.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Know, and it's amazing how many people tell me, you know, I got white hair, but it's my hair. This is mine.
Right.
Glory
That's
to God.
Right.
Hallelujah. And they say, but Jesse, you know, I mean, I seen you when you had brown hair. I said, you must be getting old. But anyway, you know, I haven't felt my age.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means. You know, I've had people, well, I got to be honest with you. At this time, I'm 63 years old, about ready to make 64. And I went to see some people that were my age, and I leaned over to Kathy, and I said, Kathy, do I look that bad?
I hear you.
Yeah. She said, no. But she said, because you've got life in you. And what it is Christ in me,
yeah.
the hope of
Absolutely.
Glory.
That's it. That's exactly
you
know, it, Jesse.
That's what you preach it.
I believe God's going to extend some years and extend
Amen.
Some time. You know, the Bible says those years the devil has eaten and been destroyed,
yeah.
God's going to restore those years.
Come
it's
on.
Going to be phenomenal. You know, what's happened to us in our culture is that we're trying to rewrite the rules
right.
because we've given up.
Right.
In other words, people do not know what an authentic man is anymore.
That's right.
They do not know how to define the family anymore.
Right.
They do not know how to explain what a marriage is anymore.
Right.
And I tell you what we've done. People have given up. Our culture has been worn down,
yes.
and we've given up. So what is an authentic man? If God's going to resurrect authentic manhood, what is that going to look like?
Right.
Well, we're going to go to the Word of God.
Right.
We go to Genesis 1:26, and the
Come
Bible
on.
Says, when God got ready to create man, He
yes.
created him in his own image
Ooh,
and in his likeness. He created them male. He created them female
That's right.
in the image and likeness of God. An authentic man is the man God created. God created that man. Listen, men say, I don't know how to read my Bible. Oh, yes, you do know how to read your Bible.
Come on,
Men
George.
Can say, I don't know how to walk with God. God created you to walk with
Amen.
God. In the cool of the day, those men walk
Come
with
on.
God.
Yes.
They can walk with God. God created Adam and gave him Eve. The man has the ability to be a one-woman man. You can be
Preach
faithful
George,
to your
come
wife.
On. Come on.
You can read the Word of God. You can walk with Almighty God.
Amen.
You can know the voice of God. And what God is doing is resurrecting authentic manhood.
Come on.
We're not recreating a counter manhood. We're not settling for less. Listen, we're not going to the tomb to redecorate it. We're going to the tomb to resurrect what's
Come
inside
on.
That place. And God is pulling them out.
Come on. I like that. That's good preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's all about. I like what you said, that we're creating His image. George, me and you look like God.
Yes, we do.
Let's smile at the camera right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, come on.
Hallelujah.
You know, the pastor just said, you know, we're not adults. We're children. We're children of God.
Yes.
He's the Father. And He's never given up on the image. He's stamped inside of us.
Amen.
I believe in the heart of every man is a cry, is a lion ready to roar if someone will set him free.
Come on.
In the heart of every man is not a quitter, a deadbeat, one that's given up, then one that's walked off.
Right.
In the heart of that man is a burning desire, is someone connecting to life to stand up and be the man that God created
him
to be.
Come on. That's good preaching, though.
I believe it's
Woo!
There.
You know, people in Georgia all the time tell me, Brother Jesse, what are you doing? My destination is to go ye in the world and preach the gospel. That's my destination.
Yes.
But my destiny is be ye holy, for I am holy.
Absolutely.
So destination is go ye. Destiny is be ye.
Yes.
Now, you know, I like what you said, that when God created that, He gave Him one woman. You don't need more than one woman.
No.
Two
no.
women will kill you.
No.
You don't need that. That's stupidity.
Absolutely.
Because you know what? And not just from the physical side. Is my Lord. I mean, it just takes you and her, and you create a family.
Absolutely.
A family that can be a blessing to God, to the community, to the church, to the state, to the nation.
All these
a family.
That's right. All these other things are substitutes and counterfeits.
Right.
See, a man doesn't prove his manhood by how many women he's with. He doesn't prove his manhood by his possession or his toys. His manhood is developed by living out the purposes of God
Come
in
on.
His life, by
Come
being
on.
That man that God called him to be. When you find your identity in Christ, when you become whole in Christ, when you're resurrected from the dead things of this life, you don't have anything to prove anymore.
That's right.
You're not a little boy running around inside a big man's body.
Right.
You've been resurrected
Come
and
on,
healed
John.
And set free. And you have no need to prove yourself anymore. You are. You're
Amen.
Accepted. You
Amen.
Are.
Come on.
You can live that life.
Yes, indeed. It's actually so simple in the joy.
Simple. It's simple, Jesse.
And you know, it's amazing. This man's been preaching this stuff. And yet people go, I never heard that before. You've been preaching that since I met you, 30-something years ago?
That's it. That's
it's the
it.
Word of God. You just got to open your mouth and eat the stuff.
It's right there. You know, we can look at Lazarus as an example of manhood dying. The Bible says he was sick, and then he died.
Right.
But when Jesus arrived there in Bethany, this is what his sister said. So if we have authentic manhood, and we did originally,
right,
and it's died, how did it die?
Yeah.
Well, when Jesus arrived in Bethany, this is what the sister said. If only you had been here, he wouldn't die. You know what? You know how manhood died? I call it separation sickness. We separated ourselves from God.
Yeah.
And the farther we have walked away from God, the sicker we became
right.
until we died. See, what makes you sick will kill you if you don't do something
That's
about
right.
it.
That's
and
right.
So the longer man stayed away from God, the sicker he became. Now, Jesse, watch this.
Come on.
So if separation is what made us sick and died, connection is what brings us life.
Come on.
Now, when God created a man, He created him differently than any other part of creation. If you read through Genesis 1, before man was created, when God got ready to create plants, He spoke to the earth and said, produce a plant. When He got ready to create the fish, He spoke to the sea and said, produce the fish. Now, if you take the plant out of the dirt, it dies. If you take the fish out of the water,
it dies.
But when God got ready to create you and me, He didn't speak to the water. He didn't speak to the dirt. He didn't speak to the air. He spoke to Himself.
Come on.
Let me make man out of my image and likeness.
Come on now. That's preaching, brother.
Now, if you pull me... Yeah, that's who we are. Now, if you pull me out of God, I'm going to die.
You're going to die.
See, you can't take the fish out of water. You can't take the plant out of the ground. And you can't take a man away from God.
Amen.
But if you'll connect that man to God,
Ooh,
if you connect that man to Christ, this warrior, this champion,
Come on,
this mighty one-woman, God-loving,
Come on.
Strong man of God, he'll be everything God ever called him to be.
Yes.
All we got to do is connect him.
With all the power... Ladies and gentlemen, with all the power God will give it all to you. He gave you the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus.
That's it.
I bet so many people say, why don't you struggle? Because I used the name of Jesus.
That's
well,
right.
I tried that. I didn't try to use the name of Jesus. I used the name of
Absolutely.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
You see, when Kathy
Absolutely.
Writes a check, she don't try to sign my name. She signs my name.
Yes, she does.
You know what I'm
With
saying?
With confidence.
With confidence. And I back it. Back it, glory to God. One time I never forget, when we give an offering, you know, we talk.
Sure.
I was in this church up in Chicago, and I was preaching, and I was going to receive an offering for the church.
Yeah.
Well, you know, normally she's looking at me like this.
And I know what she's thinking. You know, when you've been married that long, you know, well, how much you want me to give? Yeah. And I looked at the woman, and I said, woman, just do what the Lord tell you. Just do what the Lord tell you, and I'll back it. She goes, okay. Yeah. So she wrote a check, stuck it in there. Now, at the end of the service, they was bringing us back to the hotel. I'm sitting in the back seat with Kathy, and the guy's driving, but I didn't want him to know what I was saying, so I went, She looked at me, I said, how much did you give? She went, 25. I said, 20. Kathy, you only gave $25? She said, no, $25,000. I'm like, oh, Jesus! And she said, and you said you would back it.
And you did.
And I did.
Yeah.
Without even blinking.
You did.
So from now on, I talk to her before I go up to the platform.
There you go.
You understand? It was one of the greatest gifts. But you know how I was able to do that? Oh, could be, but so the Holy Ghost coming on me here. He says, oh, no man anything but to love him. Our pastor at our church says, you know, I've been out of debt, George, since 1982.
Yes.
I don't even know what debt is. I don't even deal with debt. I don't know what my credit rating is. I don't care. I ain't going to never use it. You understand?
Yeah. Yep.
I told the President of the United States, you can have my Social Security.
Yeah.
Give it to somebody going to need it, because I ain't going to live by limitation.
There you go.
Because I live by my giving. But watch this. And I don't mean that, bragging or anything. I just made up my mind that God said I could do all things through Christ.
Right. That's right.
Now, he said that. That's unbelievable, and that's impossible. But he said that.
Yes.
And I said, God, can I count on what you said?
Yeah.
He said, yet I made you in my image and my likeness. Now, go.
Yeah.
So I go with God.
Yes.
That doesn't mean the devil don't fight, but I am worried about him. That's see, he's right. Already lost the war.
That's right.
He's just defeated, restricted, and rejected in awaiting confinement.
That's
you agree
it.
With that, George?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
That's why your church is doing what it's doing. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, if you're in a rut, you know what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. Yeah. You're just laying in the dirt. Get up. I mean, the power of the resurrection, get up and say, but I don't know how to do it. Then let God help you, because you walk by faith.
That's right.
And not by
that's right. Sight. That's right, Jesse. You know, that's how it works.
Amen.
Absolutely. And we can get up, and yeah. Everyone can get
just
up.
Get
every
up.
Man, every family can get up. It's simple. The Bible says, Romans 8:11, that same spirit that raised Christ
Ooh,
from the dead.
Come on.
Will quicken your mortal body.
Come on.
So how do those dead men come out of those tombs? How do those dead men, how does manhood become resurrected in our culture today? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken those men and bring life to them.
Come on.
He's not Humpty Dumpty trying to put the pieces back together again.
Right.
He's not trying to restore what was broken. God will speak life. The Spirit of Almighty God will sweep into the tomb of dead manhood.
Come
like
on.
It ushered into the tomb on Resurrection
Woo,
Day.
Glory.
And grab those men who've lost their hope and lost everything. And God will not get the old man. He'll make a new man.
Come on.
And we'll move the stone and
Come
manhood
on.
Is about to erupt. Out of the tombs of this culture
Come on.
And find themselves, your sons, your husbands,
That's
your
right.
fathers, your grandfathers.
Coming
I'm
going
to tell you, the culture of the church is about to change. I prophesy that in the name of Jesus.
Come on, I receive
like
it.
Standing over the valley
Amen.
Of dead bones,
Come
the
on.
Culture of God's church is about to shift because the Spirit Amen. Of God is reaching into dead places.
The church, let me tell you, the world cannot satisfy. Everybody
no.
doing everything they can. To try to get something to be satisfied. But only Christ can satisfy.
That's it.
That's the reason why I got born again.
Yep.
Before I was saved, I made a lot of money. And I was raised very poor. Mom and Dad did the best they could. I thought if I could just make enough money. But it was a sinkhole here, George. I was sinking.
Yes.
And I tried to fill it with money so I could buy what I want. And I remember being so disappointed in Dallas, Texas, when I was 23 years old. I had money coming out my ears, in a sense. And I said, why am I so unhappy?
Yes.
Because, you see, it doesn't bring any happiness whatsoever.
No.
Now, it makes you comfortable while you're miserable.
Yeah, yeah.
It will make you comfortable while you're miserable, but that's about it.
That's
it won't
all.
Bring any happiness. But when I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of my life, the sinkhole filled up.
Yes, yes.
Christ,
yes.
The hope of glory came into my life.
You reconnected to God.
I reconnected. That's it.
You've been away.
Yeah.
We believed a lie.
George, we only got a couple of minutes. Look into the camera. Let's reconnect some more people
Amen.
To this
Amen.
Wonderful person
Absolutely.
Called Christ.
Absolutely. You know, I want to speak to everyone, every mother praying for a son, every wife praying for a husband, every female who has stood in the gap, prayed your prayers, believed God. God has heard every word you said. Not one word has
Yes.
been in vain or wasted.
Yes.
There is a time in due season, if you don't give up, you're going to reap a harvest.
Come on.
And I believe God has sent us here tonight to announce due time has come. Harvest season
come on.
Is being unleashed from heaven and exploding on this earth. Sir, young man, older man, come you're on. Watching us tonight. I see a young man right now. You used to laugh at this program. I see you sitting there in the spirit, and you've turned this on tonight. You don't want anyone to know you're watching it, but you're desperate. And tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, ooh, I Lord. Call you out of that pit.
Come on.
I declare in the name of Jesus that you come out tonight. This longing in your soul, you've searched through everything. You did everything you said you'll ever do, and you're more empty today than you were before.
Yes, yes.
Right now, I prophesy over you, like Ezekiel did over the Valley of Dry Bones, a culture of men that have been lost and stolen. I declare you're going to be resurrected,
yes.
And it begins tonight. I ask you now to agree with me in prayer. Simply say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I ask you. To forgive me.
To forgive me.
To come live in my heart.
To come live in my heart.
To resurrect me.
To resurrect me.
To give me new life.
To give me new life.
Not an old life.
Not an old life.
New life.
New life.
I believe you're the Son of God.
I believe you're the Son of God.
I believe you died on the cross.
I believe you died on the cross.
In my place.
In my place.
And tonight.
And tonight.
You've come.
You've come.
To resurrect me from my tomb.
Resurrect me from my tomb.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you.
From this day forward.
This day forward.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Give them a hand clap. Glory to God. Woo! Glory. Hey! I like it, George. My. Ladies and gentlemen, if you just prayed that prayer with Pastor George, so you're born again.
Yes.
You got born again. Listen, we're not just doing this to have a good show. This is life and that more abundantly. Mm-hmm. You know, we just got maybe 3 minutes left before we go off. So, George, just stay right there.
Okay.
And this is my 3 minutes. I get to preach a little bit to you. Let me tell you something. Oh, Lord Jesus. I mean, I might let some of the black come out of me. The Lord said,
ha. Amen.
Yeah, glory to God. Hey, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm thinking about Mark chapter 11, verse 23. He said, verily I say unto you, if you would say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Stop for a minute. Be thou removed. Never climb the mountain. The church world has tried to make you climb the mountain. The church, and you got almost to the top and slid down, almost killed yourself. God never made you a mountain climber. He made you a mountain dissolver. Do you understand that? But he's not going to dissolve it because it's your mountain. And if you knew, like many preachers have said, if you knew what was on the other side of that mountain, you'd be talking to it. On the other side of that mountain is your husband getting saved. Yeah. On the other side of that mountain is your body being healed. On the other side of that mountain is your money being blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going. But you're going to have to say it. You would say to that mountain, be thou removed. And be thou cast into the sea. Notice God tells you to tell your mountain where to go. Why do you have a problem with that? You tell everybody else where to go. You ain't got no problem telling anybody else where to go. You might be telling somebody where to go right now. Why don't you talk to your mountain and tell it where to go? And the only place you can hide a mountain is in the sea. You can sink it in the ocean. He said, and not doubt in your heart. Let me help you here. Let me help you. It didn't say not doubt in your head. Everybody in this studio, including Jesse the Planets, gets doubt in his head. So, well, what do I do, Brother Jesse? You bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, thoughts come into your mind uninvited. Well, how do I do that? By casting down imaginations. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when an ugly thought comes in my mind, you know what I say? That's not my thoughts. My thoughts are lovely, just, good report, pure, and virtuous. I'm going to think on these things. George, do you agree with that?
Yes, sir. Yes,
you know,
sir. Yes.
All of us get thoughts in our mind that are uninvited. We didn't ask for it. But you see, we need to start talking to these mountains that are climbing them.
Yeah. That's good.
Now, how do you transfer it from your head to your heart when you say it? When you say it, it becomes yours. Never answer this question. If your wife or your girlfriend comes up and says, does this dress make my rear end look big? Don't answer that. Because you're going to buy that, baby. You understand what I'm saying? Just say, you look wonderful. Glory to God. That's all you got to say. See, that's how you transfer doubt from your head to your heart when you say it. I only got just a few seconds left. I want to thank each and every one of you for watching TBN. You need to pray for Jan and Paul and pray for this TBN network because it's reaching people literally all over the world. I want to thank all my guests that came because I know you learned something. Give them a hand clap. You learned something today. That's what it's all about. Learning and believing and decreeing the word of the living God. This is Jesse Duplantis. from New Orleans, Louisiana, saying, I love each and every one of you. You go to church next Sunday. I don't know where to go. Let God guide you, and you'll be blessed. I only got 9 seconds. May God richly bless you, and from now on, you'll never be without prayer. God bless you. Bye-bye.
We're so glad you've been with us for Praise the Lord. TBN has a worldwide ministry. We need your love gifts, large or small, to help keep the gospel of Jesus Christ going around the world. So write today, Praise the Lord, P.O. Box A, Santa Ana, California, 92711. Or in Canada, write TBN, P.O. Box 768, Station B, Ottawa, Ontario, K1P 5P8. If you haven't asked Christ into your life, call a prayer partner now and pray to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, until next time, remember to praise the Lord.